The model is the engine. The control layer is where someone decides who holds the keys.
And this week, a lot of people discovered they were holding keys they didn't know they had.
Welcome to the Cato Weekly Digest for the week of July 12 through July 18, 2026. Let's get into it.
I've been waiting for this one, Cato, because the stories this week don't look related on the surface. Model pricing, Louisiana power plants, autonomous shipyards, but they're all pulling the same thread.
Right. And that thread is intelligence got cheaper. So the question shifted to who gets to say where it runs.
Okay, walk me through the model layer first, because I think the Kimi K3 story gets misread.
Yeah, people saw it as another benchmark moment. My read is different. Kimi K3's coding focus, long context, multimodal support. That combination makes it credible as replaceable labor inside a bounded workflow. A model can be weaker in the abstract and still win the job if it is cheaper, fast enough, and easy to swap.
Dollars per task instead of points per benchmark.
Exactly. And that's what OpenAI's Sol, Terra, Luna pricing confirmed. The unit of competition moved, which is why OpenRouter's takeover interest is, I think, the more significant signal. If models are increasingly substitutable, the value of sitting above the supply, deciding what runs at what price, that goes up.
That is the key. But here's where I want to push back, Cato. Routing and permissions being necessary doesn't mean they capture value independently. Think about observability tools, identity management, cloud cost optimizers. All necessary, all eventually absorbed into the platform contract. Microsoft bundles it, Amazon bundles it. The startup teaches everyone the vocabulary while the incumbent takes the budget.
I can't fully dismiss that. The history is real.
So the honest question is, if the control plane becomes a checkbox in BizSide an existing enterprise agreement, does the customer gain control? Or do they just get a cleaner view of someone else's defaults?
That's the fork. And open evidence is actually the interesting countercase here. In medicine, the vertical trust premium, liability, workflow access, someone to call when an answer harms a patient, that may be worth more than neutral routing. A possible $20 billion valuation on a medical AI platform isn't about model quality. It's about who stands behind the answer.
Right. What's unusual isn't that Kimi got cheaper or open evidence got expensive. It's that both outcomes reward the layer that makes a model acceptable for a specific job. Through routing in one case, liability-bearing trust in the other.
So my concession is this. The vocabulary probably comes from the startups. The budget may flow to incumbents. Two futures. Visible, neutral control markets where customers pay to preserve model choice, or invisible bundled defaults that feel boring and reliable. Which one wins probably comes down to whether enterprise buyers actively pay to preserve optionality.
And most enterprise buyers historically do not.
No, they do not. Okay. If the control layer decides what the machine can do, who decides whether there is enough power, capital, and public consent to run it at all?
5 gigawatts.
Meta's Louisiana campus. 5 gigawatts is roughly the output of 5 large nuclear reactors. That is not a data center. That is an industrial grid event. And the build-out can't just be willed into existence. Transformer lead times are stretching from months into years. Some large device prices have nearly doubled since the pandemic. ASML is pushing equipment price increases despite pushback from TSMC.
Partial vetoes. Every one of those is a separate entity that can extract terms or cause delay.
Exactly. Partial vetoes. Banks decide which balance sheets deserve leverage. Utilities decide which loads get power. Equipment makers set prices at choke points. Governments decide which allies receive chips. And then, communities. About 7 in 10 Americans opposed a local AI data center. New York enacted a statewide moratorium on large facilities tied to energy use.
I want to bring in a specific person here, the utility interconnection planner. She's at a public meeting. The developer promises jobs and tax revenue. Residents ask about their power bills and the next outage. The grid team says new transformers may take years. The developer says delay, sends the project to another state. Everyone wants her answer. Nobody wants to own the full cost.
And she's sitting on debt commitments that were made before demand was confirmed.
That's what I'm calling the half-life of scarcity, the warning attached to the landlord's bet, which is the thesis that AI's lasting value sits in physical infrastructure and operational control. The dangerous question isn't whether the bottleneck exists, it's how long ordinary people are being asked to underwrite it.
The scarcity skeptics have history on their side there. Fiber, cloud capacity, solar manufacturing, all produce moments where a permanent shortage became a temporary one.
Right, but the debt is real today. The grid upgrades are being committed now. Households may pay for those upgrades before they see much benefit.
I'll take that. The lag between financing and utilization places real risk on people who never chose the model forecast. The deciding evidence is simple. Who pays when demand misses? If it's shareholders, that's one world. If it's utilities and households, that's a different one.
The anomaly is that a software boom is now being rationed by the same things that ration heavy industry. Long lead equipment, bank terms, grid queues, and local permission.
Which is a genuinely strange sentence to be saying in 2026.
Here's the cross-segment insight, Cato. The simplest explanation for both the control plane race and the infrastructure vetoes is that intelligence is getting cheaper while permission is getting more valuable. If that's right, the next pricing power should appear in systems that can credibly say yes or no. If customers and communities rode around those gates without paying a premium, the connection was temporary.
Permission as the scarce asset, not the model.
Not the model.
Now, the data center fight is about scarce industrial inputs. The next story is the opposite problem. Abundant intelligence meeting a physical world that still moves one bolt, permit, and experiment at a time.
Autonomous boats, robotic construction, bricklaying machines, factory humanoids, AI wet labs. Lila Sciences describing their lab as an AI data center where robots generate verified experimental data. The ambition isn't to advise physical work anymore. It's to close the loop between prediction and action.
And every single one of those hits a different wall. Shipbuilding needs yards and permits. Construction robots need sites designed around their limits. Wet labs need physical verification. Wire harnesses still need skilled assembly. My read is that physical AI will scale more slowly and build stronger moats because deployment knowledge is hard to copy.
Slow can defend.
Right. In software, a failed run rolls back. On a shipyard floor, the rollback may involve steel.
But I want to push on who owns that deployment knowledge, Cato. Because when I look at skilled assembly workers, the people who know how to make automation survive contact with a real site, they carry the tacit knowledge. They know the edge cases, the weather conditions, the union rules, the way the building actually behaves versus how it was designed.
And dum-dum.
Die won't cover on so titles.
Ask. Oh, I'll go. Go.
It is, but here's my reframe. Using what I call the capture ledger, the record of who meters, authorizes, finances, and accepts responsibility for machine work, the question isn't whether the deployment knowledge creates value. It's whether the worker who holds it ends up as the owner of the operating knowledge, or the unpaid translator who makes somebody else's machine work.
That's the Argentina-Spain mirror, isn't it? British-built railways, nearly 24,000 kilometers by the early 20th century. They shaped migration, which shaped identity, which shaped football culture. The infrastructure compounded until the outcome looked like destiny.
And then Spain and Argentina switched positions. European integration compounded in one country. Dictatorship and crisis broke the promise in the other. The rail line, the shipyard, the wet lab, they share one mechanism. Capability compounds only after a local institution turns it into a repeated practice.
So we actually agree on the physical deployment knowledge point. Where we split is distribution. I expect hard-won integration skill to earn durable value.
And I'm watching to see whether the institutions that capture that skill share the authority and gains, or absorb the knowledge and leave the worker as a cost line. Repeat deployment labor terms will tell us which world we're in.
Fair test.
The keys were never on one ring, Cato. They sit with the router, the bank, the utility planner, the testing body, and the worker who knows whether the machine survives the real site.
And nobody in that list has a complete view of the others. Each one sees only one bill.
Which means the open question for next week is, when every part of this economy has someone who can say no, who has the authority to decide which no protects the public, and which no merely protects an incumbent.
That's the one to watch. I'm tongue. Till next week. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Stay sharp out there.